Let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would have our hearts and our minds open to all that you want to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, just before you get too comfortable, we're going to have a bit of a question to get us thinking. What is the church for? What is the church for? Now, I'm only going to give you a minute to answer that question, all right? It may take a bit longer. What is the church for? Not just St. Matthew's Church, but the church worldwide. Why does it exist? If that seems just a bit big for you to have a discussion with your neighbour for, why did you come to church this morning, okay? Hard question, easy question, I don't know. 1 minute, just have a quick chat with your neighbour. What's the church for, or why did you come to church this morning? 1 minute. Perhaps that's got you thinking a little bit about church. And today we're looking at effective church. We've just read about Paul going off on that first missionary journey. We're going to be looking at effective church, and hopefully I might just mention some of the things that you've mentioned to your neighbours. So we're now moving on in Acts. We're starting to see Paul following God's calling and his equipping and taking the good news of salvation through Jesus out to all nations. And today's reading is the start of the first missionary journey. Paul has been based in the church in Antioch in Syria, and in these first few verses of chapter 13 in Acts, we get a brief glimpse of the early church in action. Luke sets the scene by telling us some of the names of the church leaders. Barnabas we've come across, and Paul was one of them. We know that he had been a fanatic who persecuted Christians. We don't know much about the others. But the thing that they had in common was their love and their deep faith in Jesus Christ. They were united in their desire to serve God in whatever way he called them. And in these first few verses, we catch a glimpse of how effective the church can be. We see them worshiping the Lord. We see them fasting. We see them following God's commands and setting aside Barnabas and Saul for the work that God has called them out to. And we see them praying. And even though in the passage it's a little bit ambiguous, the chances are that it was the whole church, not just those leaders that was mentioned. It was the whole church who were worshipping, who were fasting. And it was the whole church that was involved in the decision to pray for Barnabas and Paul and to release them and send them out to evangelize as God had requested. It's a bit of a minefield if you go on to Google and put in effective church. The number of articles that came up hurt my brain. The list is endless. Are there six? Are there eight? Are there ten? Are there hundreds of characteristics of an effective church? Numerous books have been written on how to have an effective church. In 1995, Rick Warren wrote books entitled The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. And that was described as a blueprint for church in the 21st century, where he looked at God's eternal purpose for life and church. Again, the worldwide Anglican Church has what it's called the five marks of mission, which should come up. Excellent. The five marks of mission: to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need by loving service, to seek to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and to pursue peace and reconciliation, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. Five marks of mission. And this diocese, we do base what we do on those five marks of mission, but we're also looking to growing in God. And if you came to one of the prayer session that we had down, well, we've had one here and one at All Saints, where Dave Gardner was around, we're looking to growing in God, growing in depth, growing in number, growing in influence, and growing younger. So there's many, many ways that we could have looked at what is an effective church, challenged by what they did in Acts 13. One of the ways that I found was helpful was putting it under three headings. Ministry to God, which is worship. Ministry to believers, which is nurture and care. And ministry to the world, evangelism and care. Obviously, care could have actually been another one, ministry to everyone, but three headings seems traditional for an Anglican sermon. Ministry to God, ministry to believers, ministry to the world. So let's look at each of them briefly. So ministry to God, which is worship. Worship isn't just when we gather here, when we sing those few worship songs that we've already sung. It's part of it. The New Testament translates the word worship means literally to fall down, to bow down before God. And as the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize more and more of how amazing God is, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his grace, his word, as our understanding grows, our worship will deepen. When we gather together to worship here this morning, it isn't just a preparation for something else. It does equip us as we go out into the world. It doesn't just make us feel good as we sing praise songs, although that's often the outcome. It isn't something that we tick off, right, we've done that, we'll wait till next week. Psalm 45 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Worship of God in itself fulfills one of the major purposes of the church. An effective church will be worshiping God because God is worthy to be worshipped. So that's one sign of an effective church. Another is ministry to believers for their nurture and for their care. Our life as a Christian is a journey, generally starting when we know very little, and we grow in leaps and bounds as our knowledge and as our understanding grows, a bit like a baby growing into a toddler, into a child, into an adult. And that's how our Christian life is. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says that he writes to them as mere infants. I gave you milk, not solid food. In his letter to the Colossians, he says he wants to see every person perfect in Christ, meaning that he wants to see everybody grow to spiritual maturity. And the church, part of an effective church, is called to nurture Christians within that church, part of their growing up. And within each church, there should be teachers who can help people to grow and to mature. There should be opportunities for teaching and Bible study through courses, through groups, even sermons that will help to strengthen our faith. There's an endless supply of books and commentaries, courses, diocesan events, all provided to enable each of us as Christians to grow and mature. Paul himself spent over 3 years with the church in Ephesus, preaching and teaching with great effectiveness. So as well as worship, nurture, building up Christians to maturity, is a vital part of an effective church. And each one of us, however long we've been a Christian, we are still work in process. So, ministry to God, worship. Ministry to believers in nurture and caring for them. And ministry to the world, which is what we're seeing Paul doing here as he goes out on these missionary journeys. Ministry to the world in evangelism and care. Jesus told the disciples that they should go and make disciples of all nations. This is the church's world work in the world, speaking out God's word to those who don't yet believe, being his witnesses close at home and to the ends of the earth. And alongside that, nurture and evangelism, there's the work of caring for Christians and for those who are not yet Christians, for the poor, for the needy. Jesus told us again to love our enemies, to do good, and to lend and expect nothing in return. And earlier in Acts, we've seen, haven't we, how those new Christians in that early church sold some of their land and raised funds for the poor and needy. And we also saw how they set aside 7 wise men to take on responsibility for caring for the widows. So the church is to offer care for all who have need. So an effective church is a worshipping church, it's a nurturing church, it's an evangelistic church, and it offers care to all. We probably knew most of that. How's St. Matthew's doing on that? Actually, I think that next picture will just... Thank you. So, if you go on to that one. That one just shows you the 3 different areas. Brilliant. And this, if we look at St. Matthew's website, I don't know how many of you looked at it recently, we can read that there's a mission statement that we've got there. I think it's on the back of the board there, just above a few photos. To be a community of worship, growing our faith in Christ, building loving relationships with one another, and reaching out with God's love. I know we had a DCC meeting where we were discussing how to sum up what our mission statement is. And a lot of that covers what I've just been saying. We do worship God, don't we, in our regular Sunday gatherings, in our home groups, in our individual quiet times. And we worship God in our lives as we seek to follow him and be obedient to him. Are we on to the next one now, I think? Yeah, so that's, we worship God. So as a church, we worship God, don't we? As a church, we try to mature in our faith. As we listen to sermons, as we take time to discuss things. That was one of the reasons I just got you to discuss at the beginning. It's good to be able to talk to other people about our faith, about why we come to church. It's good to perhaps be able to discuss the sermon afterwards, if you want to. We can study God's word. We can attend appropriate courses. We can pray. And we can allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us and change us. And perhaps even be called out to train for a particular job within the church, youth workers, authorized ministers, clergy even, so we can grow in our faith. And we do take the word of God out to nations as we evangelize in word and deed. And there's many examples of where people from this church are involved on behalf of the church in different organisations, in different ways of sharing the message. If we just think of that latest project on a Sunday morning, selling things at the car boot, yes, but the main aim is to talk to people about Jesus. The main aim is to talk to people about Jesus. And each of us have our front lines where we're called to share the gospel. And again, perhaps we may be called out to another place, to another church, to another country even, to share God's word, to evangelize, to be a missionary. We may be called back as well, as John has been. But, you know, speak to John if you want to know about what being called out is like. God doesn't always leave us in this same community. He may call us to a different place to share his word. And as a church, we do care for others, don't we? We get alongside people, we support one another, we give time, we give money to different charities. And tonight, Open Doors is going to be prayed for as we support them financially as well. Many of these areas, though, overlap, don't they? Our faith and our maturity can grow as we care for others, as we support different charities, and as we're involved, we can share our faith. And as we care for others and support secular organisations, we can be given opportunities to talk about Jesus. So many of these areas will overlap. But a strong church, an effective church, will have ministries in each of these areas. No one area is more important than the other. They are all essential to being part of the church. There may be seasons, but ultimately, the aim is to worship God, to grow Christians, and to tell the world the good news. So just as I finish, let's briefly think about just a few other points. It won't have escaped your attention that the church is not perfect. It's made up of people like me and you, and we get things wrong. The early church did. We'll read about that a bit later on. There was division about whether the Gentile converts should be circumcised. And on Paul's second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas fell out and they parted company. So as a church, we won't always get it right. We will sometimes get it wrong. And as a church, if we're doing God's will, if we're being obedient to him, we will get trouble. Satan doesn't like people who are focused on going God's way. Satan is defeated. He will not win because of Jesus' saving work on the cross. But he hasn't given up trying, so we need to be aware. And then finally, each of us as individuals have gifts and abilities. And we might find that as individuals, we are mainly involved with one of those areas. And that's okay, because we're all part of one body. So we may not find that we do all four of those areas. We may find we're more involved in one particular area. We need to go careful that we don't neglect the other areas completely. But as a body, we will be covering all of those areas if we are an effective church. God's perfect plan will mean that he's placed just the right people in the right place at the right time for his church to be effective. But each of us as church and as individuals need to be open to his ways and obedient to his voice. So the question that I leave you with is, are we? Are we open to his voice? Are we obedient to his ways, individually and as church?